and that sense of intrigue and discovery. You know, that love is also part of why I love looking at Hebrew, the biblical Hebrew language, because it's so different to English. It's full of these amazing things that you discover. It's so different and intriguing, right? Now, English is a language that's, you might call it an intellectual language or a conceptual language. You know, it's all up here. but Hebrew is a picture language. So it actually, the words, or what the words are about and how they're made up and where they come from, is a description of what you see or what you feel with what the word means. And I thought, I'll give you an example, but I need you to do something. Because it's a picture language, right? So if you can turn to somebody right near you, all right, and just look at their face. I know that's really uncomfortable for some people, but please just humour me, right? So that you can understand the fullness of this. And as you look in their face, right, now try to do this without laughing, but I want you to pull a face when, you know, being really cross, really angry about something, really mad, all right? So I know it's hard without laughing, but just quickly enough that you get to see, what does the face look like? What does it look like? Okay? Did you notice all the creases? All right? Right, I'm not talking about the elderly. It's, you know, those creases, the frown lines, the screwed upness of the face, right? That sort of thing. And if they were really, really mad, you would notice their nostrils flare, right? They'd bulge out. You know, the Hebrew word for that type of mad is flared nostrils. Right? Isn't that cool? All right. And then have another look at the face, and this time, make a face that's really joyful or surprised or amazed, right? All right? What happened to the lines? Did you notice it all smoothed out? Became really tight, right? That sort of thing. Well, you know, the Hebrew word for glad tidings is from the word to mean smoothed out. Because your face gets smoothed out, right? With good news, with glad tidings. The thing that goes, wow, that's good, right? I think that's really cool, right? And understanding that helps us to learn a lot as we look at the Old Testament, as we look at the way God proclaims his good news to us, right? Especially about Jesus, right? Now, our readings today, and we're looking at the glory of God, right? In the face of Christ, right? But the glory of God, the word, the Hebrew word for glory, comes from the word heavy, right? As in fullness, right? The cloud that's full of rain, right? That's its glory. Woof! The fullness of it. Or a person whose very presence is full of the splendor of wealth or the splendor of prestige or whatever else it is that really impresses you and humbles you in their presence. Right? That's the glory. Right? Or a king. A king who's so full of that royal presence that you just, whoa, it's a privilege to be in there, just in their presence, right? Or of their royal might, you go, whoa, right? That's glory, right? In English, we even have the slang term, you know, the heavies, right? That meaning, they're the people with the power, the authority. They're the ones whose decision counts for something. Or you stand in awe, or supposed to. They ought to be the ones that we look up to, the ones that we honour, the ones we esteem, the ones we take notice of. But, you know, as Aussies, you know, Australians, we often don't. They're the ones we, oh, I want to pull them down to my level. You know, that sort of thing. And in actual practice, the ones we actually glorify, the ones we afford glory to, right? You know, give, you know, declare the people, look at them as they're the people with the fullness that we're looking up to, are the ones like the one, our idols. We talk about our idols, or the stars of the movie scenes, or our heroes. That's how we talk about them. All right? And they're the ones we treat as people with that fullness of what's desirable in their life. The ones we treat as people full of life that we'd love to have. That's glory. That's glory. And when we come to the Bible, we see, you know, something very special being declared to us. Something that really challenges us about when we think of glorifying, you know, and upholding people, especially when we see what it writes about Jesus. You know, when Paul and Timothy wrote to the people of Corinth, they explain that they didn't go on. You know, when they were talking to the people, when they were preaching, they didn't go on about themselves. It wasn't about what I do and all of that sort of thing. Instead, they were pointing to Jesus as the Lord. You know, the one up there, the heavy. Right? He's the one with the fullness. That's the one you should be looking at, not me. Not what I'm doing, but what he's done. You know, and when they did speak about themselves, they spoke about themselves as servants of the people for the sake of Christ. That is, in consideration of and to help out this Jesus in the things that he was doing or wanted to do. And what he was declaring is what they were. That's what it means, for the sake of Christ. And they said, for God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts. Like that. To give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. All of that. You know, that those words are so packed. To give us the light of the knowledge of God, or the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. In actual fact, he opens up our eyes to see what glory really is, what to look for. What is fullness of life? What is the fullness, the glory of God, the fullness of God? The glory of God in the face of Christ. Now, when the Apostle John wrote down the good news, that's what we have, the Gospel of John, you can feel the excitement. As you understand that, you begin to feel the excitement that he had as he started proclaiming that gospel. This is the good news, he says. And he starts off, you know, the Word. The Word that was there right in the beginning, right? With the creation, before the creation and as part of the creation, the Word that was there, who was with God and who was God, and then he goes, became flesh. Became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Huh? The fullness of God among us? Whoa. And he goes on, we have seen his glory. The glory of the one and only who has come from the Father, full of grace and truth. And in Colossians, Saint Paul says, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. The firstborn, not as in just being born, but the firstborn over all creation. And he goes on and explains that a bit more, and he says, as in this, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Fullness of life, right? Here's the glory of God, and it's in the face of Christ. The glory of God in the face of Christ. And even more than that, you know, if you want to get an aside sermon, a great one, if you ever get the chance to, there's a video around that talks about laminin, right? It's a protein that holds all your body together, right? Everyone's body together. And guess what? You've got a picture of it on the wall. The shape of that protein is the cross. All right, laminin. It's fascinating. Fascinating. But, you know, some people talk about the glory of God as in all the miracles. As in, you know, the empty cross. But that's not the glory of God. It is part of the glory of God. But the glory of God is seen in the face of Christ. So if you want to know about the glory of God, you've got to ask, what do you see in the face of Christ as he reveals himself to us? You know, the Word who was God and is God, who made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, right? The glory of God in the face of Christ. And you go, on the cross. On the cross, when he was on the cross, the glory of God is shining. Right? On the cross, we see in the face of Jesus the things that we wouldn't expect to see. Suffering for us. This is the glory of God amongst your suffering, walking in your suffering. Suffering for you as well as with you. Right? And yeah, on that cross where we would most expect to sit, that a person would be thinking about themselves and just about their own suffering and all of that sort of thing, John, the Apostle John, remembers the face of Jesus, noticing his mum, right? Mary, and this disciple that he loved, right? And he says to him, behold your mother, behold your son. Compassion in the midst of suffering instead of anger or resentment or just especially suffering innocently. The glory of God. And when Jesus looked at the soldiers, the soldiers who just gambled for his clothes, who'd stripped him and gambled for his clothes and then nailed him to that cross. Instead of anger and protests of innocence, in Jesus' face is this prayer that goes, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. The glory of God in the face of Christ. And as I've said before, you know, as that sinful woman, that sinful woman who's washing Jesus' feet looks up. She sees in the face of Jesus not just compassion, but also Jesus honoring her in the face of opposition and declaring before everybody right there and then that her many sins are forgiven. That is, that he sees a purity in her. Even with everything that's happened to her, even with her history and everything leading up to that day, in the face of Christ, she looks up and she sees in the face of Christ, he sees a purity in her with sins forgiven. The glory of God in the face of Christ. You know, and as Jesus steps out of the boat, you know, after seeking desperately to take a breather from all the ministry stuff that he's been doing, right, this heavy schedule of teaching and healing, and he's confronted by another crowd, you know, full of people who are sick, who are needy, who are thirsting for just some good news, thirsting for a Savior. And instead of frustration and, why can't you just leave me alone for a minute? Let me catch my breath. Instead of that sort of response in the face of Jesus, what do they see? He had compassion on them. Compassion. The glory of God. This infinite understanding, compassion and mercy and grace and glory of God in the face of Christ. And as people try to exclude children or try to silence the cries of praise from those people in need or those rejoicing at his coming, there's a firmness that pulls up his people from thinking the wrong thing, from going the wrong way, and as a correction that he gives back to what is of God. And when Jesus, as Jesus turns God's worship place, as people turn God's worship place into an access for wealth instead of an access to God, a marketplace instead of a house of prayer, there is righteous anger. And that too is the glory of God in the face of Christ. The fullness of God. He is not here to allow his people to be led astray or to be excluded from access to him. It's the glory of God, the fullness of God in the face of Christ. And did you get a picture? Did you get a slide with a picture? I don't know. I don't know if it came through to put in. There's a picture that I love, a picture of Jesus that I came across that I just love, right? It's a picture of Jesus holding onto on a boat with a fishing net. He's standing there and he's just beaming, right? And just this smile, it's just so full and rich and full of life. I love it as a picture of Jesus. And it's Jesus as he walks with people, right? It's Jesus as he crouches over the coals, you know, and he's there, you know, after the resurrection, and the disciples decided to go out and try and catch some fish, and they, nothing all night. And Jesus is standing there over the coals. And I can see this cheeky grin on Jesus as he yells out to them, just throw the net on the other side of the boat, you know. Yeah. Who's he? We're the fishermen. And they just go, oh, okay, throw it out the other side. 153 fish, right? You know they're fishermen because they know exactly how many, and they're big fish, right? But you know, he's Jesus, and that picture just shows Jesus loving his creation, and it reminds me. It reminds me of an expression in the Psalm 104 where it said, you know, he's God who makes the clouds his chariots and rides on the wings of the winds. Who said God wasn't a surfer? Right? I just love this picture of God loving his creation and playing in his creation, right? You know, no wonder he loves kids, right? He's God, he loves his creation, and he's God surfing. You can just imagine him surfing on the clouds going, oh, having a bit of fun, time out. He's God. And but this is what we see in Jesus too. As he walks around. Right? loving his people, going out fishing with the disciples and, you know, fishing with them and, you know, just on the other side of the boat, and they pull in so many fish they can't, they're just amazed. This is God loving his creation. That's the glory of God in the face of Christ. All of it. And at the same time, as we see at the Transfiguration, it's the same God that they'd pictured as this mighty, amazing God who you can't even look at because of his glory, the fullness of his glory. You know, this transformed person whose face shines like the sun and his clothes white as light itself. All of this, from birth to cross to that transfigured presence, is the glory, the fullness of God revealed to us in the face of Christ. You know, it's there as God is with us, providing for his creation and enjoying and loving his creation. And it's here with a heart for salvation. Right? So for the provision of his creation and for the heart for salvation. You know, as God is with us in wisdom and lordship and authority and life and love, full of grace and truth. Not just the empty cross, not just what the world describes as glory, but the fullness of it in the face of Christ. Isn't that amazing? And to think that one day we will get to see him face to face. Right? Something to look forward to. But we don't have to wait to know what's there. Right? Next week I want to do part two. Right? And next week I want to share with you something about, you know, there are people who talk about the Shekinah. And they talk about it as something like that earthly glory stuff. Right? So I want to talk about with you about the Shekinah, but also this is the glory of God in us. Question mark, exclamation mark. Let's think about that. All right? And see what God says about that. So it's more truth, more grace, more to be inspired to just grab hold of this life, the fullness of this life in Christ Jesus, and to step forward into that life in all its fullness with Jesus. Let's pray. So thank you, Lord, for revealing to us the truth of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Lord, may that help us. May you help us with that to grow in our faith so that, Lord, whatever we face in this life, whether it's miraculous healing or whether it's, you know, the things that the world looks for glory, or whether it's just the understand and the to feel your presence as we walk through the struggles of life, as we walk through the decisions that we have to make, as we're faced with the places that you call us to go that we don't want to go, and we have to surrender to that and to step into that fullness of life that you desire, not just for us as your people, but also for the people that you're considering to be touched. As we face the sufferings, the pain of this world, in ourselves, in our families, and in people that we love and care about, in the people that we meet on our streets, Lord, may you inspire us to step forward, understanding the fullness of God in the face of Christ. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.